A fellow in Long Branch, Texas, went into a fried chicken franchise to get some chicken for himself and the young lady with him. She waited in the car while he went in to pick up the chicken. Inadvertently, the manager of the store handed the guy the box in which he had placed the financial proceeds of the day instead of the box of chicken. You see, he was going to make a deposit and had camouflaged it by putting the money in a fried chicken box. The fellow took his box and went back to the car, and the two of them drove away. When they got to the park and opened the box, and they discovered they had a box full of money. Now that was a very vulnerable moment for the average individual. However, realizing the mistake, he got back in his car and returned to the place and gave the money back to the manager. Well, the manager was elated. He was so pleased that he told the young man, "Stick around. I want to call the newspaper and have them take your picture. You're the most honest guy in town." "Oh, no, don't do that," said the fellow. "Why not?" asked the manager. "Well," he said, "you see, I'm married and the woman I'm with is not my wife." In the past three Sundays, we focused on Christ-like character, such as love, humility, and purity. And today, we are going to think about growing like Him in honesty. If there is one area where we all can do a better job, it would be honesty. In our society, there is plenty of corruption in leadership, political, financial, and even religious. Cheating in marriage and cheating at work and in school, especially high school and college. And it seems like getting worse every day. We suffer from poor work ethic and performance, distrust and manipulation, and more corruption. Left undealt with, in the end, this problem of dishonesty in our society will bring down our entire nation. And God calls you and me to stand in the gap on behalf of our society. Let's do some numbers first around the world. The least corrupt countries in the world. Did you know that every year there's one organization called transparency.org? If you're interested, just check it out, transparency.org. And this organization ranks many countries. I think the last time I heard it was close to 180 countries in the world. It ranks nations' integrity on a scale of 0 to 100. 0 means the most corrupt nation and 100 the least corrupt. Based upon a number of surveys that seek to gauge hard-to-find metrics such as bribes paid to the government officials or transparency in corporate reporting. Denmark, New Zealand, and Finland are tied for 2 years in a row the least corrupt nations. They scored 90 out of 100. We're curious to know where our nation, United States, stands. We scored 74 out of 100. Therefore, ranking the 19th. Not bad, right, you think? Now, what about the most honest cities in the world? Some years ago, Reader's Digest did a project in 16 cities around the world, and the magazine asked its reporters to lose the wallets in public places, such as shopping centers and car parks and on even sidewalk pavements. And each wallet contained a contact number, a family photo, and business cards and coupons, and the equivalent of $50 or £31. Which city came on top? Helsinki, Finland, was the most honest city in the world with 11 out of 12 wallets handed in, while Lisbon, Portugal, was the most dishonest with only one wallet being returned to its owner. If you're coming from Lisbon, I'm sorry. And what about our United States? New York City came on third, surprisingly. 8 out of 12 wallets were returned. Where would Manahawkin stand in this most honest city in the world? Have you ever wondered? And I have a personal, very limited, it's not scientific research. Sometime last year in October, it was raining hard, and I went with my wife to Home Depot to do some shopping. And very unlikely, I don't carry the umbrella, but that day I did. So I took the umbrella inside of the store and get things done and coming out. And lo and behold, I forgot to take the umbrella from the shopping cart into my cart and drove away. Minute after, I realized, oops, I forgot my umbrella. Went back to the place, parking spot, and a cart was there, but lo and behold, the umbrella was gone. So I checked, went back into the store and checked with the customer, service center there if anyone returned my umbrella. No luck. So, in a sense, someone else used it well, but I had a first taste of, what is it like in our town. Anyway, what about the workplace? How honest are Americans at work? I'm just going to read one of the articles here. I quote, "Anyone looking for an honest man and woman in the U.S. today would have lots of problems, according to Lucic Nant and Associates, Las Vegas, Nevada." That's the organization that did that. Out of 7,443 people, it tested for honesty in 1993. That's kind of a little old, but that's the most recent one I could find. 52% were ranked as low desirability for employment because they admitted to stealing or thinking about stealing regularly or said that they would steal if they thought they had a good enough reason. 15% stated that the temptation to steal can be too hard to resist. 12% admitted to prior job dishonesty and rationalized this behavior. 11% said that they would not give lost money back to the owner even if they knew who he or she was. And 11% indicated that they would steal if they knew for sure they would not get caught. 9% admitted that they would bribe a police officer. And 7% believe you can have a good reason to steal from work. And 6% feel they have a good reason to steal from work. Interesting, isn't it? You cannot be honest in one way, but dishonest in another. In other words, they were dishonest at work, but they were very honest in their answers. Another survey done in 2013 under the question of how focused are you during the work day? The survey found out that almost one-third, 29% of the people, visit Facebook each day while they're at work. I'm sure some of us are guilty of that too. So those are the numbers, giving us a general idea. So let's begin with definition, standard definition of honesty. Honesty is, I quote, "the quality of always telling the truth and never stealing or cheating." And here's a biblical definition, the quality of being truthful to God and to people in word and in action. Let's think about why do we need to be honest. If your child asks you why she needs to be honest, especially when many others at school, for example, cheat on tasks, how would you answer that? Of course, we would answer that it is wrong to cheat, to begin with, and we would answer that God wants all people, especially His children, to live an honest life. Now, for those folks who want to know more than just it is God's command to be honest, here are three more reasons for you to think about, which I found in the scriptures, why we should be honest. Number one, honesty is to the glory of God. And dishonesty is to the glory of Satan, our enemy. God commands us to deal with each other with honesty so as to please Him and to bring Him glory. And remember, our God is the God of truth. He is the God of light. He cannot stand dishonesty and falsehood or darkness. Imagine that every Christian in our society tells a lie. I'm glad and thankful that we don't. But let's say every Christian in our society does so. Our Heavenly Father wouldn't be pleased with us at all, would He? Because dishonesty has no place before God, and it has no place in our family or church either. Why? Because it belongs to the darkness, and we are the children of light. And as we are, we must have nothing to do with dishonesty. If we are dishonest, you know what happens? It will actually honor our enemy Satan and help him to gain more territory over our society. The Bible says it right when it comes down to the devil. It says, devil is a liar and the father of all lies. Why do we need to be honest? Because by doing so, being so, we bring the glory of God. The second reason is this. Honesty protects you and me from vices. It keeps us from unwanted troubles, such as more lies, cover-ups, slanders, and future embarrassment. Someone told me a long time ago, you know, the reason why you need to be honest is because you don't have to remember what you have said. Always telling the truth, and you don't have to remember what you had said last time. That makes sense. Honesty morphs us into a character of virtue. It also builds more trust and credibility around us among peers. And they will come to you if they discover that you are honest. And furthermore, did you know that God will reward those who walk uprightly? And the Bible says, withhold no good thing from those folks who are honest. It's time for me to share just my personal testimony. We have two more days before we file our tax returns. I hope every one of us this morning, you know, finished, you know, the tax returns. If you have not, we have a help. Emergency help, Shelley is here to talk to her. Anyway, some years ago, I do my own tax return. It's clerk's tax return, a little complicated. So I've been doing it for 20-some years. Anyway, one year, I tried to file my tax return sometime in February. I did that year. And for whatever reason, I was reading back, you know, reviewing what I ever did, and discovered, oops, I made one mistake. So, of course, I told my wife, I made a mistake. And I was hoping, I felt, why should I file amended tax return? It looks like very complicated. So I told my wife, I found a mistake, but I'm going to just pass it, hoping that the IRS wouldn't catch me or something. And there comes my wife. She says, how could you do that? As a minister of the gospel, you have to be honest and you need to... I said, okay. Those living with such a wife, no. I better do it. So I did, very reluctantly. And after, you know, recalculating everything, I discovered, I owe $175 to IRS. So I wrote a letter, an amended tax return, along with a check of so-and-so, dear IRS, I made a mistake, and so on. Here's the check. And about 2 months later, I got a letter back from IRS. And I was hoping that, this would be all right, and open it. And lo and behold, with a letter saying that, dear taxpayer, here's the recalculation of your tax and everything, and here's the refund check in the amount of $425. I said, whoa, what's going on here? And my wife says, see, you better listen to me. What I discovered that day was, well, when we are trying to be honest, walk upright, and God rewards you in a mysterious way. You never imagined that. I never imagined that, you know, IRS would give me more money. Anyway, there's a saying that honesty is the best policy, isn't it? I think you would love this story too. There are a couple of college students. These guys just love to have fun. What they did is that the night before the final exam, they threw a party and drinking and whatnot, and they were worried, you know, in the following day, what are we going to do? So they came up with a scheme that, oh, you know, two of us going taking the same class, let's go to the professor tomorrow morning and tell him that, oh, you know, we were out of town, we were coming to the campus, and we got flat tires, so we ended up staying in the, you know, late, whatever. So the professor said, okay, sounds all right. So he gave him the new date a couple of days later. So these guys, wow, elated, wow, it worked, whatnot. So the professor asked them, you know, okay, there's two rooms here, room A and room B, and I'm not going to put you together, so just you go there and you go there. So each of them, and when they just sat at the desk and they opened the test, there was no exams at all, except only one question. The question was, which tire was flat? Honesty protects individuals from vices. And the third reason is that honesty preserves our society. The future of our society depends on us. It keeps our society healthy and sound, and honesty strengthens our families as well. And it also protects us from God's judgment. If you read Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 1, it says this, God was looking for one person in the entire city of Jerusalem. It was right before the kingdom of Judah fell into the hands of Babylonians. Okay, around 580. And God says, I'm looking for one person honest and upright in this town to spare the entire city. Kind of very solemn. And here's another example. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18. And before God, you know, destroyed those two cities, God sent angels to Abraham and told him, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do to those two cities, but I let you know what I'm going to do. And Abraham, realizing that one of the cities, Sodom, his nephew Lot and his family living there, so he just went into his petition, Lord, you wouldn't destroy the city full of people if you found 50 righteous people in there. And God said, I wouldn't do it. And Abraham would not give up. He says, what about, Lord, 45 people there? And God said, I wouldn't do it either. Lord, just bear with me. What about 40? And God said, no, I wouldn't do it if I found 40 people. And Abraham going down to, what about 30? And God said, I wouldn't do it. What about 20? And God says, well, you're still the same. And Abraham tried one last time. Lord, what if you found 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? And God says, I wouldn't do it. You see how it goes? God was looking for righteous people, one person in Jerusalem, and 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah. You see how important these righteous people, upright people, honest people, that would protect the entire city. We don't see it that way. We the Christians, the Bible says, are the light and salt of the world. It was more than just, oh yeah, it's a beautiful phrase to use, isn't it? No, folks, it's much more than that. We are standing in the gap between God and our society, on our behalf of our society here, and we are called to keep our society from getting darker, and we are called to preserve our society from corruption. And honesty does that job. So next question is, how can we be honest? Now before we ask how we can do so, perhaps we need to ask, what makes people honest or dishonest? What makes people cheat? Now I could identify 3 or 4 reasons. I'm sure there are much more. The first one is that fear. It could be fear of rejection, fear of punishment. You know, even the peer pressure comes to that one too. Anyway, the fear. I still remember, you remember when was the first time you ever told a lie? First time? You remember? Somehow I do. I was about 6 years old. I'm 57. 51 years ago, I did my first lie. What happened is that I was, I have brothers and sisters. My oldest brother, 11 years a senior to me, he had a somehow necklace. I mean, shiny necklace, whatever. And I was wondering why boy has a necklace. Perhaps it's for his girlfriend or something. Anyway, that day, I was playing with that necklace. And I broke the necklace. And I knew what was coming afterward. My brother would throw his fit and, you know, hit me or something. I knew he was coming into the room in a minute, any minute. And I looked around, how would I escape from this upcoming trouble? And I saw my younger sister, who was at the time 2 years old, and sitting and playing and innocent. Oh, by the way, I was not a Christian at the time, okay? So she was sitting next to me. I just gently and quietly put the two broken pieces of necklace on her head. Sure enough, my brother came in a minute later. And he was really angry. Who broke my necklace? Yours truly? Oh, I don't know. I didn't say a thing. So I remember my first lie. Why did I tell a lie? Because I was afraid of punishment. Because if you're raising your kid, if you want to prevent your kids from telling a lie, you want to make sure there's such a thing called accident. You have to create the environment for them to say safely without being, you know, afraid of punishment. Punishment and consequence is a little different in my humble opinion. But anyway, you need to create a very healthy environment so that they wouldn't tell you a lie. The second reason I can think of why people are dishonest or telling a lie is because people are greedy at times, or the greed is the one. A good example is found in Genesis. You know, two brothers, Jacob and Esau, the twins, and Jacob, the younger brother, lied to his father so that he would steal the blessings from his brother. Because Jacob wanted that birthright. I can't stand I'm a second born. I want that all the blessings for the firstborn. And his greed made him lie more than once, actually. What makes us telling a lie or dishonest would be hatred and envy or even jealousy. Again, the reason why we need to get into the Bible is that full of, you know, real life stories. Genesis chapter 37, Jacob, the same Jacob, had 12 sons and he favored one son over the other 11, and the son, favored son's name was Joseph. And therefore, Joseph's older brothers hated, the word used, the Bible used, hated Joseph, full of envy and jealousy, to the point where they sold him to slavery in Egypt and told a lie to their father for 17 years, kept their father in darkness and falsehood for 17 years because they hated their brother. Other times, ambition or lust, you know, or even the desire for success without hard works make us a lie or cheating. I think part of the reason why students cheating nowadays at school is because, hey, why do I have to work so hard when I get, you know, copy down someone's answers and I get the same grades? So what would help us to live a life of honesty? Three things very briefly. The first one is awareness of God. God watches over you. The same Joseph I'm talking about, after he was sold into the slavery in Egypt, he was doing quite well to the point where he was a handsome young man too. Master's wife fixed her eyes on Joseph. And she demanded, "You are my slave and you are going to lie down with me today." And this is what Joseph said. "How can I do evil to my master and sin against God?" Nobody's watching. The wife's, you know, just the master's wife thought. But Joseph said, "Nope, God is watching." Awareness of God helps us to live a life of honesty. Second one is that accountability to God. Knowing that God is my witness and your witness in all we do and say, on the day of judgment, He will hold us accountable for whatever we have done. Think before you act and begin with the end in mind. The third, of course, what would help us to live a life of honesty? Remembering and keeping God's commands. God says, you love me, and then you obey my command, in which, in this case, to be honest. And follow the principles of honesty in every intent. Do everything in the integrity of heart and the innocence of hands. And honest in words, Proverbs 12 says, be a truthful witness and live a lifestyle that you maintain a blameless conscience before God and before people. And even in your business practices, Leviticus 19 says that use honest scales and weights. It gives us some idea, right? How to do it. Now, the last thought is this. I'm thinking of those individuals who are struggling with this idea or practice of honesty. I recommend you to check on those fear factors that keep you from being honest. First of all, I think we can trust in God, knowing that God will take good care of you and be content with what you have. And do no harm to others, because by lying to someone, you, believe it or not, there is always ramifications that harm others. And love others and stick to God's principles and ask for God's help each time you do. And repent, that's also important, if you have not been faithful and truthful to your loved ones. And practice being honest on small things first. And do it and repeat all over again every day. And before long, you will become a character of honesty and be able to honest in everything to the glory of God. And one last thing is this. If you are struggling with this honesty issue, don't despair. You are not alone. You are not any worse than many people in the Bible, in my humble opinion, because God will teach you throughout your life and help you to grow up one lesson at a time until you get it. Embrace God's training with gratitude and trust. And here's a good example for you to think about. If you think Abraham, big guy, the father of all faith, you know what he did when he was young, much younger? Not much younger. He was still in the 70s and 80s. Did you know that he told a lie twice, the same lie? The lie was, you know, in those days he was, you know, just a sojourner. He was going around from different countries, from Egypt and all the Palestinian area. And anyway, when he went down to Egypt, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, asked, oh, who's the woman with you? She looks so beautiful. Her name is Sarah. And I'd like to have her as my wife. And Abraham said, go ahead. She's my sister, although he was her husband. And God intervened, and Pharaoh was upset. Why you didn't tell me first time? And Abraham said, I was afraid. You're going to kill me before you take my wife. And you think that was a good lesson? No, he did the same thing in another land, same scenario. God has been teaching him that, Abraham, you trust in me. You need to overcome the fear of losing your life. Same thing with Jacob. You know, Jacob was a swindler, and the lesson he got was stop being manipulative and start being truthful to others. Jacob learned a very hard lesson. He used to be a cheater. When he was young, in later life, he was cheated by his own children for years. The point is that God will train you and me through and through in our life until honest becomes a part of us. And you can, and I can, count on God's faithfulness and patience. Now let's bow our heads and pray. You simply commend us, Lord. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Sometimes we just, without really meaning it, we just can't help lying. Lord, for that we are asking for your forgiveness, and help us to honor you by being truthful always in all we do and say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.